Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shir number 129. We're going to talk today about a very important topic, and that is the assumptions that a husband or a wife makes, expecting certain expectations from their spouse because of what they saw in their home growing up. So, for example, if let's say the wife, as an example, had a father, that the father did work, but also shared many household tasks with her mother. For example, he would sometimes cook, he would sometimes clean in the kitchen, he would sometimes set the table and be involved in the domestic aspects of the house somewhat. And that's what the wife, growing up, saw her father do with her mother. So what happens, though? She marries somebody where the husband, when he grew up, there was a different type of dynamic in their roles. It's not that, we're not talking about a situation where they're lazy. Let's assume that both the husband and wife had parents that were equal in their shalom bayis, being overall very good. But in this household, in the man's house growing up, they had a different division of responsibilities, where basically the mother was the type of person that says, I want to run my own kitchen, I'll do the cooking, I'll handle all the kitchen stuff. And not only is it okay that you don't need to do that, I don't want you doing that. You could help me when I'm, you know, Pesach cleaning or Erev Shabbos, I need this to pick, you know. Oh, I'm not talking about, again, we're not talking about laziness. He's willing to help. But overall, there was an agreement between the two that he never cooked. And he never went around in the kitchen and doing all that stuff. So what happens if they don't talk to each other about it? They make assumptions. Therefore, when they get married, after a while, the wife is cooking and cleaning. And again, you know, we're not talking about a husband that's not menschlich. If there's an expressive need that I need your help, he'll be happy to help. But there's an assumption in her mind, he should, like her father, he should come into the kitchen and sometimes cook meals and sometimes, be very involved there and as a partner in the home part of the life. And what happens is, that, this is a misunderstanding, because if they would openly communicate with one another, each one would understand and work out an agreement with one another. And they would work together. And generally speaking, life does run more smoothly if a husband and wife overall agree to take on the certain agreed upon tasks on who's primary and who's secondary. Instead of, otherwise they'll be fighting all along, you know, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? I'm not in the mood, or it's your job, it's my job, and so on and so forth. So therefore, it's best in this particular scenario, and just gave one example of it, is that the husband sees the wife is upset about that he doesn't help around in the kitchen, and he's puzzled a little bit because, you know, why don't you tell me that you need help, or I'll be happy to help you. He doesn't understand the dynamic because his father never was in the kitchen, but her father always was in the kitchen. So once they have this discussion and he begins to understand that, so then they can have a discussion. It could be that he really is like his father, does not know how to cook, is not his thing. And he works with his wife. I'll work on other things. I'll help you when whatever you think I need to help you with, call me over. I'll be happy to help. And we work it out. So again, of course, marriage needs to be also with a certain amount of spontaneousness, that when one needs help, the other one fills in. You don't have to ask. You see the garbage is filled up. You take it out and you put it, you know, you take care of it. And both men to women to men, husbands to wives to husbands need to really be proactive in trying to help their spouse. But nevertheless, work it out to avoid these assumptions. And very often when a husband or a wife, even after many years of marriage, are looking down at their spouse, a lot of it is because they're thinking, in my household, And if they have fond memories of their own household growing up, of their own parents and siblings, they have a certain memory of a pleasanter past in their mind where things were done a certain way, and they all of a sudden feel resentment that it's not done that way in their own home because their husband or their wife grew up differently. So this is the idea of working through these things, realizing that it's going to be different. And that's the idea of being one in marriage, even though you're different. So whatever you could do overall to discuss these things, of the responsibilities that come up. And the truth is, remember this. Normally, the problem is not that a couple is unable to agree upon responsibilities. Both of you, husband and wife, when you sit down and you're menschlich about it and you communicate, you could work out a very nice, that you both are happy of how to divide whatever responsibility that needs to be divided, and you come to agreement. That is not the hard part. But what happens very often is you don't even discuss this, and it just festers inside, and there's assumptions. You should be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. And they really need to talk about it. They need to really need to come to a understanding about those things. I'll give another example that could sometimes create some sensitivity. So let's say the husband had his mother on Shabbos always dressed to the T with makeup, with a beautiful dress or Shabbos robe. She never came to the Shabbos table without wearing a, you know, that the tichel or whatever it is. Always with a shetel, like dressed for a chasana. That's how she treated every Shabbos kodesh, every meal. And in the wife growing, in her house growing up, her father wasn't makbid with these things and was fine. She and his, her mother was more comfortable with wearing, doesn't have to wear shetel all the time, as long as she's just, you know, presentable Shabbos clothing, whatever, nice Shabbos robe. While so again, you have this interesting dynamic. The husband, before he got married, always never saw his mother at all by any Shabbos meal without a shetel. And the wife never saw her with a shetel, practically. So the idea is, now they're married, and if they don't talk about it before or during, and if the husband just, you know, if they don't have a conversation about it and explain how they grew up and what they're used to, then it could become very difficult, because the husband will think you're not treating either Shabbos with respect, or it bothers me, that you're not dressed the way you're supposed to be dressed in a beautiful way, covered Shabbos, and you know, and whatever it is. They have these things in their head that this is the way it's supposed to be because they grew up. And either way is beautiful. Ye'elu ve'elu, by the way. You know, so which we're going to get into at a different time, but personality differences, and also how to be mechabit Shabbos in different ways. A person that's not comfortable with a shetel, having to wear it all the time, and would be feel more relaxed not wearing one. For them, lekavod Shabbos. So the lekavod Shabbos would be not to dress up all fancy, just a nice lekavod Shabbos, but it's a more relaxed type of feeling, and she'll enjoy Shabbos better that way, and that's the way to do it. So the idea is that, for example, in this scenario, but let's say the husband explains, my mother always did this, and I feel good when a wife would do something like that. That's what I envision. And the wife now understands. She may not be, you know, used to it. She may not be happy about wearing a shetel and every single meal, or to be a stickler about it. So you have to work on some type of a thing there. The husband, on one hand, needs to let go of his unrealistic expectation. She doesn't like wearing, she's not comfortable with a shetel. She doesn't want to wear it all the time. Not in, and even Shabbos by a meal, she's not comfortable. But on the other hand, it's important to him, and they work out some type of a compromise. Shabbos Mevarchim, going to wear it. Whatever it is, you make some type of a compromise where he has to let go of that and not even in his mind expect his wife to have that burden of always wearing a shetel like his mother did, when she's just not comfortable with it and doesn't want to feel the pressure of it. And she could understand his want for his wife to look very nice and pleasant, and the shaitel, she looks nicer, and it makes him feel good, and it's Shabbos, and it's beautiful. So she could try to accommodate him sometimes and do this and work out some type of a middle ground there. Another thing about roles, just to say Derech Agav, that's important to know. You know, it used to be traditionally the husbands went to work and the wives were a lot involved with the family and the children. Now it's sort of shifted somewhat. Very often a wife would go and help out their husband and be in the workforce. And the husband would do sometimes more household chores, just to go back and forth. But the idea behind it, though, what that's very important is that even though a mother has that main physical role as a mother in childbearing and nurturing, but it's very important that the child has a warm emotional involvement of the father. The child needs both parents. Now I understand, and it's a Rashi from a Medrash about why it says Kabed, and it's a Gemara. Kabed esavicha vesimecha. It says to honor your father and to fear your mother, because naturally it's the other way around. Usually usually the father inspires more of the yira, the awe, and he has to learn how to love him and or at least be mechabed him. And the other way around, with the mother, you're usually more loving towards, because you have that affection, and you need to know Myra. You have to have a certain awe, a certain respect for her. So that is true, generally speaking. But truth be told, especially Bizman Hazeh, that the father really needs to show emotional warmth as well. He could discipline, but he needs to show warmth. He needs to be there. So these roles have to be intertwined with one another. That sometimes it is when the father's there, and he could be there by bedtime to actually sit and read to the children like a mother would do and talk to them that way. Very often that is very healthy. And sometimes the mother needs to share a role that sometimes could be more disciplinary. Sometimes it depends on personality type. Usually one's the softer one, one's the more, strong, you know, as far as like running the ship. So, and you have to sort of feed off each other and find a healthy balance between each other in your own behaviors as mother and father, and also towards your children. So even though traditionally and through the Torah's Hashkafa lens, a husband and wife have different roles, and a man and a woman have a different role, all this is 1,000% true. But in certain dynamics, in certain specific roles, it varies from family to family. It varies on situation, it varies on personality. And there could be a shift. So for example, you know, in the mind, and the mindset is a wife always cooks. And the husband, that's not his thing. He works and he learns and he could help his wife with sweeping the floor or mopping the floor. Yeah, but cooking. But on the other hand, if he knows how to cook or enjoys cooking and he could help his wife with the cooking, then why not? Then you know, there you have that gift, you have that ability, you use it the right way. Even if a husband has what's known seemingly more like traditionally a more wife type of thing, like cooking, or sometimes a wife has... Somehow, you know, she has just a practical head and she knows how to fix things. It could happen. You know, so each one to his own and her own. And it's very, very important. So the aside of this particular shear is two aspects. Number one is don't allow even the good things that you saw in your parents' home growing up and the way things were done to define an expectation in your mind of the way it should be in your house, of the way your father behaved, that's the way you want your husband to behave. The way your mother behaved, that's the way I, as a wife, will behave. First of all, sometimes there's negative aspects that you need to change and not emulate your parents on certain behaviors. But I'm talking now even with the good behaviors and the nice behaviors. Like this idea that let's say in the case that I gave the husband's mother, and it was l'shem shemayim, and he knew it wasn't for shtick, because it could be like on the street, she wouldn't wear a shaitel necessarily, or she doesn't go overboard, you know, and she's sneeze overall, and you know, but Shabbos, that's her kibbud. On Shabbos, by the meals and everything, she wears, like, she's royalty. But he still needs to realize that that's not the mahalach necessarily for his wife. So the and this could carry on, not just in the beginning of marriage, but even years and years and years later, a person thinks back, oh, in my own house it was this, and then they look in here, and my wife is not doing things like my mother does, and my husband's not doing things like my father does, and that's not really a healthy thing. Each one needs to work on what their present life is in their own personalities and their own home, and be warm and understanding of each other. So the idea is to understand the responsibilities, to have a delineation, to work it out, to even write it down, to discuss. Sometimes it would even be kedai of writing down something like this: what types of responsibilities that we know we need to do, whether around the house or shopping or whatever it is, what do you enjoy? What would you rather do? So for example, I'll give you a mashal. There are certain husbands that just cannot stand shopping. They just, like, it's very hard for them. Now, and the wife, she's okay with it. If she loves it and he hates it, then obviously it's easy. You know, the responsibility primarily of the shopping goes to the wife, and the husband will get another responsibility. But let's say, you know, they both don't like it so much, or they both love it. Okay, so then you work out sort of a 50-50 or whatever, however you work it. But the idea is as an example, even though it's not traditional, let's say a wife does not like shopping and he really likes it. He loves it. He doesn't mind. He likes shopping around the aisles. He likes looking at prices and comparing and this and that, and he enjoys it. And let's say he really does enjoy it, you know, overall. Of course, if he's busy, he'll be inconvenienced. Oh, yeah, I have to go shopping now. But if the etzem malacha is something pleasant to him, and for the wife, it's not so much, then he could share that responsibility in a significant way and work that out. So obviously common sense dictates that whatever a spouse, each one, husband and wife, would enjoy more or would be more inclined to do and get used to offer those first and make a list. If you both dislike something, you got to work it out. You both love to do something, you got to work it out. So, and you basically agree on your overall roles, but also understand that that doesn't mean you don't help. You know, if the husband designates every Erev Shabbos or Friday, Thursday night, I'm going to vacuum these rooms, and he does it. But that does not mean his wife, when there's matzavim where the husband's very fatigued or something came up Friday night, and she'll do it those nights. And then the husband hops, oh, you did it for me, thank you. And then when he's able to, the next Thursday, he will do it again. And the same thing with the wife. If a wife is overwhelmed in the kitchen, even though he generally doesn't do household work, he asks, he offers. Certainly if she says something, I need your help, help her. But even if she doesn't, you offer. Can I help you with something? You look, you know, could I, I can't cook, or I don't know how to cook, but do you want me to prepare something for you? Do you want me to clean up the table? Do you want me to wash, you know, clean up the floor? Whatever it is. And so on and so forth. So the key is really to work this out. And we're going to be messiahing this shir by basically saying what we said in the beginning, that normally the problem is not the inability to agree upon responsibilities, but rather the failure to even discuss the matter, or to the failure to discuss the matter in a menschlicher way. Because if one is menschlich about it, and you work with each other about things, then this not only deflects Shalom Bayis problems, it creates a certain closeness with one another, because you work with each other as a team. You're working together. You're on the same page. You're doing it for the same purpose. You both want the kitchen to look nice. You both want the Shabbos meals to look good. You both want to do whatever you need to do in order to enhance the home physically, spiritually, emotionally, and with your children. You both want to invest in your children. Exactly how and what you invest in time and energy and particular tasks, you work out between the two of you. But again, if you talk about it and you discuss it in a menschlicher way and you work through it, then Shalom Bayis could be extremely enhanced in the most beautiful way. Bracha and Hatzlacha.